Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I'm just going to do a quick walkthrough of the book of Philemon in the Latin Vulgate. Now, the Latin Vulgate is a translation of the New Testament from around the end of the 4th century AD, and it is the official Bible of the Roman Catholic Church. So their final authority is not the original Greek New Testament or the original Hebrew of the Old Testament, but rather the Latin Vulgate is their final authority. Now, what kind of a translation is the Latin Vulgate? Well, in many places, it's actually very good, but then in other places, it is not accurate to the original Greek and says something different. So I'm going to walk through the book of Philemon here with you, and I'm going to show you a few places where it deviates from the original Greek and just kind of, you know, take a look at it and see it as a sample of what the Latin Vulgate is like. So here we start out, Paulus vinctus Jesu Christi et Timotheus frater Pilemoni, delecto et adjutori nostro. So we have, first of all, Paulus vinctus. Now, these are in the nominative because these are the ones that are writing the letter. And Timotheus, so vinctus means like bound, so this could be like Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, because this is genitive, et Timotheus, and Timothy, frater, a brother, or our brother, unto Philemon, because now we're in the dative case, unto the beloved Philemon, and our helper, right? And then verse 2, et Appii, and to Appia, this is a feminine name, so presumably Philemon's wife, et Appii sorori et Archippo comilitoni nostro et ecclesiae quae in domo tua est. So, and unto, because we're dative here, unto Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. So these are all datives. Et ecclesiae, and to the church, quae, which, in domo tua est, which is in your house. Okay, this part is pretty basic because it's just sort of the, you know, opening to the letter, the salutations. Gratia vobis et pax, grace unto you and peace. Adeo Patre nostro et Domino Jesu Christo, from God the Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, gratias ago Deo meo. So I give thanks, I give gracias, for those of you who know Spanish, to my God, semper, always, memoriam tui faciens, making remembrance of you. So faciens is that present participle, making remembrance of you in orationibus meis, in my prayers, ablative case within, audience, hearing, caritatem tuam, hearing your love, et fidem, and faith, quam habes in Domino Jesu, which you have in the Lord Jesus, et in omnes sanctos, and toward all saints. Because here we have in with the ablative case. So you translate that in English like you have this love and faith in the Lord Jesus. But the second part after the in is the accusative case. So this would be like toward all the saints, because it's a different use of the word in than here with the ablative. When you use the accusative, it'd be like more like toward or to all the saints. Verse number 6. Ut communicatio fide tuae evidens fiat in agnitione omnis boni in nobis in Christo Jesu. So ut here, this is a purpose clause, like so that the communication or the imparting fide tuae of your faith, evidens fiat, may be evident, apparent, manifest in agnitione, so in or by the acknowledgement or knowledge of every good thing. So this is genitive, in nobis, in us, in Christo Jesu. So here's the thing about this verse, okay? In the original Greek, this word evidence is actually, I'll just write it right here. It's this word right here, energis, which energis is, you know, cognate with like the English word energy or energetic. But it comes from the root here in the middle of this erg, which is from the Greek word ergon, which means work. So basically, what this says in the original Greek is that the fellowship or communication or imparting of your faith may become evidence. It doesn't say evidence in the original Greek. It says energis, which is like that it may be effective, that it may be something that works. It's effectual. It's effective, right? Whereas evidence is not really the same thing, because evidence, you can see it comes from this root, not of working, but a root of like seeing, right? So evidence means like it's apparent, it's seen, it's manifest. Whereas this is saying that it's actually like effective, like getting something done. So that's not really the same thing. The King James Version correctly translates this as that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. So this word fiat, of course, very famous word because it's in Genesis 1:1, fiat lux, let there be light. So, you know, that it may become effectual. Okay, so that's one place where the Latin is not quite accurately translating the original Greek. All right, so verse 7. Gaudium enim magnum habui. So, for I have had great joy et consolationem in caritate tua, and consolation in your charity or in your love, quia, because, this is a causal use of quia, viscera sanctorum requierunt per te, frater. So the bowels or the intestines or the guts, sanctorum of the saints, have been refreshed by you, brother. So when it says that the bowels of the saints had been refreshed by you, brother, what this would mean in our modern vernacular is like the heart, right? They're using the intestines to mean like the heart. Okay. Propter quod, on account of which, multam fiduciam habentis, on account of which, having much boldness or having much confidence in Christ Jesus, and this part's a little tricky, imperandi. So the easiest way to understand this is that the imperandi is connected to the fiduciam, okay? So imperandus is like that which is to be commanded or something that is going to be commanded. And so if you put these two together, fiduciam imperandi, it's basically like confidence to command or boldness to command. So on account of this, having much boldness to command you, to command TB in Christo Jesu, quod ad rem pertinet, that which pertains to the matter, propter caritatem. So, you know, on account of this up here, he's saying, you know, I have boldness to command or confidence to command you in Christ Jesus. However, he says, propter caritatem, on account of love, or because of love, magis obsecro, rather I beseech, or rather I entreat. So I could just tell you what to do, but, you know, I'd rather ask you to do this, basically. So propter caritatem, magis obsecro, cum sis talis ut paulus senex, nunc autem et winctus Iesu Christu. And this is probably the most glaring mistake in the Latin translation of the Vulgate. This word right here is clearly not translated correctly. So if you look this up in the original Greek, it is crystal clear that the person who is like Paulus Senex is Paul himself. So basically he says, you know, on account of love, I rather entreat you, cum sis talis ut Paulus Senex. It really should be cum sim talis ut palus senex nunc autem et winctus Jesu Christi. So it should say, I entreat you, being such a one, talis, such a one as, the ud here means as, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner, winctus, of Jesus Christ. Now I'm also, remember, he called himself this in verse 1. Paul is the winctus here, okay? Paul is the old man who's in jail asking a favor, okay? This makes absolutely no sense because the way this is translated here would be like, you know, well, in fact, let's just look at it in an English translation of the Vulgate, because English Catholic Bibles don't translate from the original Greek and Hebrew. They just translate directly from the Vulgate. So even when the Vulgate makes a glaring error such as this, when there's clearly a mistake, okay, because it doesn't match the original Greek, and it doesn't even make sense, because why would he be saying, you know, well, I'll show you what it says. Let me just read it for you. But even when there's a glaring error, the Catholic Bibles always just translate from the Vulgate. They do not translate from the original Greek and Hebrew. They just translate whatever the Vulgate says, whether it makes any sense or not. So here is the Douay Rheims, because this is basically the Vulgate on one side and the Douay Rheims on the other side. So it says here in verse 9, for charity's sake, I rather beseech, whereas thou art such a one, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, why would Philemon be such a one as Paul the aged? And why would Philemon be a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Philemon's not the one in jail. So this makes absolutely no sense. And in the original Greek, this is impossible, okay? You know, I don't have the original Greek written up here. But if you look this up in the original Greek, it is crystal clear. The equivalent of this word right here, in the nominative case, the way the word order is, like, it has to be about Paul. First of all, common sense would tell you that Paul is the old man who is a prisoner. But secondly, the grammar in Greek is unequivocal that it's Paul, not Philemon. But by using the second person, sim, sis, sit, second person subjunctive present verb here, this second person makes it seem like Philemon is the one. And so this is just flat out wrong, period. And it's bizarre how the English translation just carries over the error instead of actually looking at the original Greek and translating that. So anyway, let's move on. So this is probably the biggest mistake in the whole chapter, okay, in the Latin translation. So obsequo te de meo filio. So I entreat you about my son, quem genui, whom I begat, or have begotten, in vinculis, in bonds, and what's his name? Onesimo, right? So that matches the case with meo filio. Qui tibi aliquando inutilis fuit, which to you at some time was inutilis, not useful, or, you know, unprofitable. Nunc altem, however, now, et tibi et mihi, both to me and to you, useful. Or, what would be another word for utilis, like profitable, useful. Quem remisi, whom I sent, to autem, you therefore receive him, to autem, illum it est mea viscere suscepe. So receive, you receive ilum, him, you receive him, id est mea viscera. And this is, by the way, this is where we get that little abbreviation that we see all the time in English, where we'll say I.E., right? So basically, receive him, I.E., my bowels, my heart, you know, receive him. Receive Onesimus because he's dear unto me, is what Paul is basically saying. Okay, verse 13. Quem ego voluerum mecum detinere, so whom I had wanted to retain with me, ut prote so that instead of you, mihi ministraret, that he would minister to me in vinculis evangelii, in the bonds of the gospel, sine consilio autem tuo nihil volui facere, without your counsel or your advice, nihil volui facere, I wanted to do nothing. I didn't want to do anything without talking to you first. So that, uti, purpose clause, ne velut ex necessitate bonum tuum, esset sed voluntarium. So he says, you know, so that bonum tuum, your benefaction or your goodness, would not be out of necessity because you have to, but sed voluntarium, but that it would be voluntary. Forsitan enem ideo discesset ad horam, a te ut aeternum illum recipere. So he said, you know, perhaps for this reason, discesit, he departed ad horam for a time or for a season, a te from you, ut aeternum illum recipere, so that you would receive him, ut aeternum illum recipere, to receive him eternally. Iam non ut servum, now not as a servant. Really, the idea here with this word right here, iam, is more like he's not a servant anymore, which, by the way, is the evidence of the fact that he was a servant or a slave, if you will, in the past, but he's not anymore. Okay, so not now as a servant, sed plus servo, but above a servant, carissimum fratrem, a most dear brother, maxime mihi, especially to me, quanto autem magis tibi, but how much, quanto, just like Spanish quanto, more, magis, tibi, how much more to you, et incarne et in domino, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Si ergo habes me socium, if therefore you have me, socium is like associate or partner. So like if you have me as a partner, or if you consider me a partner or an associate, suscipe illum sicut me. So take him up or receive him as me, as you would me. Si autem aliquid nocuit tibi, moreover, if aliquid, like something, nocuit, like if he harmed you in something, nocuit, like where we get our word noxious in English, if he harmed you in some way or owes you in some way, debit, like a debit card, or owes, you know, aliquid tibi, hoc mihi imputa, impute this to me, right? Put that on my account. Reckon that to me. Ego Paulus scripsi mea manu. I, Paul, I've written mea manu, with my hand, ablative of means. Ego redam. Like, I will return it, or I will repay it. Ut non dicam tibi quod et te ipsum mihi debes. This part always makes me laugh, because he's like, you know, I'm not even going to say to you how you owe me your own self. But it's kind of funny because he did just say that, okay? So this is kind of a weird grammatical use of ut. It's kind of like a negative purpose clause, but not really. It's almost like a negative consecutive, because it's basically saying like, you know, I've written this with my hand that I will repay, you know, so that I don't say to you that you owe yourself to me. Like, you know, it's kind of weird grammatically, but that's basically what he's getting at, is, you know, I'm giving you this guarantee, and I'm not going to bring up the fact that you owe me your own self. But he actually is bringing it up. That's the irony. It's kind of funny, which is a rhetorical device to say, like, well, I'm not even going to bring up X, Y, and Z, even though you kind of just did. Okay, so verse 20. Ita frater, so it's like, so brother, yes brother, ego te fruar in domino, refice viscera mea in domino. So may I have, and this could actually be parsed a couple different ways, because this could be like future indicative, I will have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh, this is imperative, refike, wiskarame, and domio, refresh my bowels in the Lord. But because of this A right here, you could also make the case that this is a present subjunctive, which would be more accurate to the original Greek. Because in the original Greek, it's an optative of wish, like, may I have joy of you in the Lord, or let me have joy of you in the Lord. So that would be more accurate of a way to interpret this, clearer in Greek, but you could still get that from this. That, so brother, may I have joy from you, or may I benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh, whiskeramea in domino, my bowels in the Lord, my heart in the Lord, if you will. Confidence, obedientia to us, gripsi. So I wrote having confidence, right? Trusting, obedientia to us, trusting in your obedience. I wrote to you, having confidence in your obedience. Skiens quoniam et super id quod dico facies. So, since I'm knowing that also above that which I say you will do, knowing that you will do, since I know that you will do more, super id quod dico, more than I say. And, you know, speaking of doing more than I say, simul autem et para mihi hospitium. So, likewise, moreover, likewise, also, para mihi, so prepare me hospitium, prepare me hospitality, or prepare me a lodging, if you will. Nam spero per orationes vestras donari me vobis. For I expect, or I hope, by your prayers, per orationes vestras, donari me vobis, me to be given to you. So I trust or expect to be given to you through your prayers. Salutat te, and then we have this nominative, Epaphras con captivus meus in Christo Jesu. So this means Epaphras, fellow captive, my fellow captive in Christ Jesus, salutes you. Salutat te. And then he's going to list some other people who also greet or salute him. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, adjutores mei. So this guy's his concaptivus, his fellow captive, his fellow prisoner. And then these are his helpers, adjutores. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, adjutores mei, my helpers. Gratia Domini Nostri, the grace of our Lord, Jesu Christi, Jesus Christ, cum spiritu vestro, with your spirit. Amen. So, bottom line is this, that, you know, the vast majority of this is correct. The vast majority of this is accurately translated. And that's how it is with the Vulgate. When you're reading the Vulgate, a lot of it will just be dead on. A lot of it will actually be translated very well. But then you'll come to certain things that just really leave you scratching your head. I mean, this is definitely different, this evidence and energis. It's an interesting, you know, choice of words to translate, you know, but this right here is just dead wrong, okay? And there are a bunch of things like that where it just kind of leaves you scratching your head, like, why did they get that so wrong? And then, like I said, it carries over into the English translations, because they are translated directly from the Vulgate and they do not go to the Greek or the Hebrew at all. Just to give you another real quick example of a weird thing in the Vulgate, like in Luke chapter 16, where it says that the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment, right? The story about the rich man and Lazarus and he's in hell. Well, in the Vulgate, it basically says, the rich man also died and was buried in hell, period. Then it starts a new sentence, and he lift up his eyes being in torment, whatever. But that's just bizarre. Like, what does that even mean? Like, he was buried in hell, period. And then, you know, you look it up in the English Catholic Bibles, like Douay-Rheims or whatever, and they just they carry that error over into the English. And if you read it in a Greek New Testament, buried in hell is literally impossible with the Greek grammar. It's a mistake. It's wrong. That's why every Bible version that's translated from the original Greek translates it that, you know, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes as a new thought. So anyway, that just gives you a kind of a sample by looking at one book, one chapter, Philemon. And you can see that the vast majority of it is a good translation into Latin. But there were really two issues. And one of them is a glaring issue. The other one you can kind of see, okay, like the communication of your faith becomes effectual, becomes manifest. You could almost like make an argument that it's not that big of a deal there. But still, it's not the best choice of word. But this is just dead wrong. And in fact, this doesn't even make sense. It's kind of like an absurd statement, which is why every English Bible gets this right when it translates it from the Greek. And it's only the Catholic Bibles, because they're translated from the Latin, that they have this error that doesn't match the original Greek, doesn't make sense. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day.